and others who wanted to remain anonymous. We are very grateful. We reached our goal. We made it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Duane, for joining us evening.
Simon.
Many thanks to Dima for her assistance tonight.
Dima.
You're listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
Oh, yeah.
And the Technology Bites is coming up next. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next Wednesday, peace on earth.
KPFT's effort to elect a new board of directors is underway, and we've begun broadcasting statements by candidates for seats to that board. Over the election period, candidates may make remarks about the station and its parent organization. Please note these opinions may not reflect the position of Pacifica or KPFT. You are encouraged to research claims and to cast an informed vote. You can visit Pacifica's election website for complete candidate statements. KPFT needs your support. Make a secure donation anytime at kpft.org. Thank you for listening. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings. Welcome to Technology Bites.
Just adjusting myself. I have that built-in pause to see if Pete's going to show up, but tonight it don't really matter.
Let's go over to Pete and see what's going on. Wow. He's listening to some music.
He's rocking out.
There you go, Pouch.
Thanks for that, Pete.
We'll check in with Pete later.
All right, welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
Oh. I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
And Lee Hutchinson is gone.
Who?
And I'm tired. He's probably up in the air right now.
He missed last week's show, and then he went, crap, the fundraiser's not till next week. So he took his time getting to the airport and missed his flight. Oh, oops, he said. But tonight we do have out in Pledge Central our favorite station manager. Dwayne Bradley.
Hey, Jay. Hey, guys.
You know,
hey,
Dwayne Bradley used to be my program director, so in a way he was my first Ernesto.
Pre-Ernesto.
Did they have, he was my first Nesto.
Back then, did they have, like, daily program directors? Like, for each day had a program director or a program manager?
That would be clever and cute and funny if it were true, but no.
No, that was, I guess, before your time, young man.
That's probably before you were listening to radio.
Yeah, when I was a DJ at college radio, you know, it was all volunteer, and so there was one person that had a show that day that was the responsible for that day.
Oh.
So if anybody wasn't going to make their show or something, they would have to tell them, and then they would have to find an alternate to fill in for them.
Mm. Well, I got to do that every day, including Friday mornings at 6 a.m. when Jay was doing his wake up and smell the coffee.
Yeah, I inadvertently kissed Dwayne's ass when I played Bitchin' Camaro and he drove a Camaro.
That's right.
So I was like, I didn't even realize I was in jail.
And then once he realized it, he started playing it every week.
I didn't want to lose my show. It was completely self-interest at the time, I'm sure. So anyway, so it's going to be.
I missed that car.
I missed that show.
I missed that Montrose.
I missed that era of the Montrose. That's for sure. Yeah, when you could, you know, pretty much walk down the street, the middle of the street, in traffic, and just pass the cars. Yeah, good times. All right. So it's interesting. So I don't think we've done on-air fundraising with Dwayne maybe ever.
I don't think so. Maybe once back in the Otis day.
Otis a day in the nights. Yeah. Yes.
My man.
Maybe a long time.
So that's over a dozen years ago. There was one fun drive back in 2004, late four, I believe.
Wow.
I just needed a change, and so I traded and made Otis come in and be the dawn patrol, and then I pulled the evening shift. And I actually stayed through the night.
The short shrift, as we
call it. I stayed through the night until I watched what happens here after midnight every night. And I can only do that
as program director, you probably don't want to know.
Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
And sometimes ignorance is, you know, a cause for a citation.
Or a liability.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, awesome for you.
So, hey, do y'all know what the goals are for this program?
You know, I deliberately try not to pay attention. Otherwise, I'll find an excuse not to come in.
To be a winner.
Well, my goal is to schedule membership campaigns like this for times when I know Jay won't be in Iceland.
Oh, good for you. That's clever.
Yeah.
And so there we are. The goal is just under $1,000.
Just under $1,000.
Yeah, $928. It's a very carefully constructed algorithm that the development director Robin Lewis created to assign some pre-pledged dollars according to a specific formula that only someone like one of you guys in there would understand.
An algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be Jay.
Not me.
Porsche 928 also, I think it's the area code of Arizona. That's all I got.
We have a goal of $928, or do we have some pre-pledge on that?
You have a few pre-pledged dollars, yeah.
But nice. How much do we have to raise tonight?
928.
Well, I'm going to say all of it.
Okay. No, but 928 is our official goal for tonight, not including what we already raised, which got us to 928 with the pre-pledged dollars, right?
Oh,
there you go.
Well, I know that we have $50 in the kitty from a web pledge.
Fantastic.
So
we're on our way.
We're down to $878 then.
There we go. See, look, we're just knocking it down.
So we just have to say it and it goes down.
Yeah, we're at 500 now.
Yeah, web pledge.
Wait a minute. Wait a
minute. We're down to like $24.
Wait. Is it? What, really?
What?
Well, now we're up to $1,200. Someone just took some out.
Now you guys are making money.
Oh, wait. Somebody took it back. We're up to $1,000 again.
Yeah, now we owe $1,000.
713.
So, yeah, 928.
And with compound, the miracle of compound interest, now we're up, to $12,000.
So call. Call and pledge. Basic membership's $40, but we'll take anything.
25 makes you, by the bylaws, a voting member.
25?
There you go.
A share of stock for $25.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a time to get stock in KPFT.
What do you infer?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's the glory days.
And help save the bank. Just buy one share.
Well,
the radio station.
It's a good time to vote.
Where would you be without KPFT? You wouldn't have that radio show, would you? No.
That's right. You've got a piece of Saeed's show there, Jay, and Groovehouse. You also have a piece of Lars' show on Thursday afternoons on the HD3 channel.
You got your air voices in my technology box.
The
phone number is 713-526-5738.
Yes, it is.
We can't be this funny all the time.
It's not going to last. You know, this the early heady, you know, moments of the show. Where
right.
We,
I mean, yeah, this is a buzz that we haven't had, and it will wear off.
until everybody stops talking except Jay.
Yeah.
And then, he will be in a lot of vocal pain after about 47 minutes.
I got a lot of support right now. Everybody's chiming in and participating, and I have to encourage everyone to continue on. But if I start crashing, it's all going down.
Yeah, I'm
going
to be shutting down in about 6 minutes.
Well, right now we're in that really wonderful period of the show where everything seems possible and that we can raise $875 without, you know, much effort. Until we get, you know, an hour into it and realize that
the realities haven't set in.
Yeah.
Our dreams aren't crushed yet.
Yeah. So, you know what would be cool is if we could just start the phones ringing with pledges of support to KPFT and Technology Bites right now, because every time the phone rings and someone makes a pledge, it just knocks a little bit off of that goal. And
an angel gets its wings.
Bing.
Bing.
Then we could move on to a regular show. and we could talk about how awesome that fundraiser was for the rest of the time.
Well, you know,
remember
you got
that night that Dwayne came back.
You know, we got no info shot, no Barrett time,
no Lee,
no Lee,
isms.
No actual SETI signal,
no bite of the app. Yeah,
that was bunk.
Who didn't see that coming?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, they realized why that signal was so strong. It's because it came from here. So. No aliens.
Bird on the antenna.
Something maybe. An antenna. Some tinfoil wrapped around.
There's a front lobe and a back lobe of the antenna. I mean, that's kind of even like, you know, when we were at DEF CON and they were, you know, giving talks on, you know, fox hunting and, you know, detecting signals. It's like, be aware of signals from the behind. It's probably not what you think it is. So I think they fell prey to the same kind of thing.
Like an ear,
a much larger
like
scale.
Like an earlobe.
Yeah, just a little bitty tiny back lobe that looks like, oh, it's a big signal from out there, and it's like, oh no, that came from here. Sorry, guys.
Is the earthquake.
All right, so 713-526-5738. Our goal right now stands around $875.
Still, yes.
And, you know, we have one pledge that we had via the web, so that helped. But we are waiting on our first phone call to come into the radio station. Now, I heard Saeed and his show met their goal.
Yes, they did. They raised $717. Their goal was $696.
Can we have his extra?
There's $21 bonus dollars.
Table scraps.
Can we pay that forward? Yeah.
You know, he said the same thing to Susan, who went way over the border radio goal, and she did not pass it forward.
Oh. As,
that's as, because she wanted us to have it.
As we know you wouldn't. We know you wouldn't either.
Well, no, it's true. It's true, but... since we haven't made our goal at all, we would totally give everything over our goal to whoever wanted it until we actually raised it, then it's all ours.
I want to know how a program that's been on the air this long, I mean, this program has been on since before I became general manager, and how can a program be on this long and still be on? And
dementia.
And, and how come you haven't solved all the technology problems inside this building, let alone the external issues that proliferate?
One of the reasons why we've been around so long is because we haven't attempted to take on the technical issues of this radio station, I think.
Smart.
Of which there seem to be many.
There are many.
But, you know, it's kind of the charm of KPFT is that we this is not a state-of-the-art anything.
This is barely a pants thing. Yeah, my microphone barely works. It's trying to fall over on me every time I touch it.
We're kind of like technology Boy Scouts when it comes to the station. You know, we try to leave it like we found it.
Leave just, nothing but footprints.
Just leave a pile of burning ash that smells slightly of urine.
Y'all weren't supposed to know who that was.
Sad, but true. Well, you know, here we are, and we're trying to raise nearly $1,000, and I know we can do this. I actually have confidence in you guys. And the strange thing is, I'm in a room completely empty right now, and I'm just pacing back and forth in a completely empty room. And there were lots of people in here not that long ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's something about you guys.
It's us.
It's us, yeah. If the phone rings, Barrett's going out there to start taking pledges.
I've been here for nine straight hours, and this room was packed until you guys came
out. We can clear a room.
They were at DEF CON, you know.
Oh, man.
Maybe everyone left to go change their Dropbox passwords and all their account passwords.
I think
tell me why. Can you help me with password issues?
Sure.
Because I don't know. I'm kind of slow into the whole social media world. Part of it is that I don't like dealing with lots of passwords. I remember the password to, like, my bank account, okay? Because so that's kind of important to my life.
So what's your current password?
What's your Twitter password?
Okay, Afflicted will filter
that
over here.
Of course, and I use it on everything. It's the same for all of my accounts.
Well, one of the things, I mean, if we want to talk about passwords, I'm happy to talk passwords. Passwords rule the day.
I mean, is there sort of like a rule of thumb in terms, if I ask something to give me a password, it's going to be giving me a line of like 20 characters of gibberish.
No, you should create your own password, and you should come up with a password scheme that is easy for you to remember.
Okay, well, that's the part, the easy to remember part.
Right, passphrase.
Right, so there are many different schools of thought on this, but one of the things is that you could, like, one method I've used to create passwords is I list, if I have to create a password, like, for something I know I'm always going to use at my desk. Let's say I was going to create a password, you know, and I know I'm pretty much going to use it most of the time when I'm sitting here at the studio, and I might combine three things that I see every time I'm sitting at this desk. So I could
say... Broken microphone.
Barrett,
delay, clock.
Okay. All right, I'm in his Gmail. Changing two-factor authentication.
You combine those words and then add a number or special character at the end of it, and you would have a completely random password that would be, you know, as hard to guess as any other password. Another option is to just pick a word like you have, you know, just a word that you like, and maybe is a nonsense word rather than a word you would find in a dictionary. Or misspelled that word, like leave a letter off, and then append a number to it. And so what I tend to do with passwords is I have a nonsensical word that I use as the baseline, and then I add a couple of special characters at the beginning and maybe a number at the end. And then I can increment the number for different services. And another thing you can do is you can use a password manager. You can use a piece of software that basically saves your password.
I don't trust any of them because I don't know who they are. They could be Russian. They could be Chinese.
I'm holding Barrett's paranoia.
It could be one of you guys.
In my head. I moved over to like a little bitty black composition book and put all my main passwords in here, and I change them enough and everything's different. Because I used to cheat a little bit and use more or less the same password in all the sites, but throw some numbers at the end of it or throw like the first three letters of like what site I went to. But they just were able to tell earlier this afternoon that the 60 million Dropbox user account passwords and usernames they're legit. So there's 5 gigabits, wow. 5 gigabytes of data that actually matches up. Like, so if Jaylee, you've got a Dropbox account, I assume, yeah. right? They now have your password and your username. So if you use like Jaylee at Dropbox or whatever it is, and you also use like Jaylee at Gmail, they're probably knocking on all those doors right now.
Wow.
So the good news is, because there's so much data, there's 60 million, it's going to take a while for them to try everything. But literally, if you have a Dropbox account, go change that password. And then if you have used that password anywhere else, go change that now too.
Yikes.
Okay, so that, yikes. That points out the need for all of these unique passwords for all these different things.
Right, because the thing is that if you use, for example, a lot of accounts will use your email address as the username.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
once you get the password, you say, oh, well, and if they figure out who owns that email address, it could be even worse. But it's not far-fetched to consider that if I have a username of, you know, j@j.com and a password on this site, that I'm using that same username and password combination on my banking site. So they go to chase.com or they go to, you know, bankofamerica.com or whatever, and they just try to log in using that username and password. In many cases, that's going to work.
They get a lot of hits, enough hits to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
If they see your password and it's like, drop freak. Right. Oh, Dropbox, drop. Let's go to the bank and try Bank Freak. Let's go to Twitter and try Twit Freak. See how many things you can get into.
Let's go to the KPF studio and look for 3 things. And add a number. So change your password scheme. There are some, like, there are a lot of the things, too. A lot of them are dictionary-based attacks, too. So if you have something that couldn't be just found in a dictionary all on its own, that goes a long way. And there were some talks, not at DEF CON, but at B-Sides, where they were looking at password frequencies and things like, you know, I love something. It was, you know, they were like, guess which one is bigger? And, you know, I think I love kale ranked very, very low. Although I kind of felt like in the room once they said I love kale was, like, very randomly used, I feel like everyone changed their password to I love kale. But, you know, just put something together. You know, put together a few words that describe something that makes sense to you. And, yeah, I think that's kind of – that's probably stronger than you probably need. You can definitely add numbers. You can do things. But I get into the habit where I can't remember everything. I'll have, you know, especially I rotated everything a few weeks ago. And, you know, my phone kicks me out of something and I need it on the spot. And I can't immediately produce what that is. I can get close, but it takes me a couple times. I'm like, was that, you know, this number? Was that this capitalized? Was this? So I think it's better, even though it might be a little bit longer to type out, just, you know, go with something a little bit longer and do something that's kind of a phrase or kind of sentence-y, you know, and throw in some capital letters here or there. You know, and that should
but
probably
the problem is if you have to have a completely unique password for every place, it's gonna be really difficult to remember. Mm-hmm. You know, 150 completely unique passwords that aren't somehow tied to the site or something on the site or something.
Well, the worst
one is if they have your password for your email, because then you can do password recovery on any site.
Yeah, that, and I mean, there are a few things, too. It's like Facebook has, you know, like a single sign-on authentication mechanism, and Google has. They've got, like, the OAuth, too, which, you know, via that, you can log into a ton of sites because, you know, everyone used to, you know, a website, they would have to code their own, you know, user login stuff and password recovery stuff and CAPTCHA stuff and all this stuff. So it's a lot easier for developers just to say, like, hey, we're just going to use, like, Google login, and everyone has a Gmail address anyway. And if they don't, they'll just go get one if they want to use their stuff. So you compromise that one key email address, and everything else just kind of falls by the wayside. So definitely on those. That's what I would protect. You know, if you don't have to necessarily have a unique password for everything, but here's the issue, though, is they're not breaking into Gmail. They're not breaking into these, you know, large, mega, armored sites. They're getting into Gawker. They're getting into these, you know, low-hanging fruit, I guess. I hate to say they're like low-hanging fruit, but, you know, people that aren't putting in, you know, the kind of security teams that Google and Microsoft and those, you know, those kind of companies are. And they get those passwords, and then sure enough, those keys might work, you know, upstream in a Gmail or in, you know, in a Facebook account.
So like my cron.com password that I used to find out what Jay is writing in the paper can be found out easier than my Gmail?
Then you're, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because Gmail knows that they're a target, and they really do. I mean, they do due diligence. They've got security teams. They might go at it a lot better than just, you know, like, say, someone with a little bitty shop that sells, like, mustache wax on the internet, you know, and they just put up a little e-commerce shop, and they might have a little nephew that does it themselves, and that's where you create the thing. And even though you're not giving them credit card information, maybe you create a login.
They installed a shopping cart, and then they didn't update it for 3.5 years, and it has 7 vulnerabilities.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really, really common. I mean, you're not going to see it with, like, the large shops, but anything, you know, anything that looks like it's old is probably pretty old.
I was going to say, I don't remember, I don't think it was the guy who had his desirable Twitter handle stolen. I don't remember exactly how they did that one. It might have been that one, or it may have been another one where they were stealing something else. But one of the interesting ones that I saw is somebody managed to get into a person's domain registrar account. And
via fax?
And so what they did, I don't remember how it may have been, they called, it was complete social engineering. Mm-hmm. They managed to get into it. And once they got into that, the person had used, for their like recovery email for a lot of stuff, they had used their personal domain. And so, the TTL on the personal domain for the MX records was set fairly low. And so the person just changed the password and changed the MX records. Mm-hmm. And so by the time the guy managed to get back into his registrar to change things back, the other MX record had already propagated, and the person was going to all these sites and saying forgot password, and all those emails were now going to where he pointed the MX record instead of the guy's original server. So that guy actually said, you know, everybody should consider using Gmail or Yahoo, some big email address, you know, from a big email provider, or set your TTLs really long on your MX records so that if somebody manages to get into your DNS at your registrar, they can't change that stuff.
And that's a few hacks have been carried out, like, you know, just being able to get someone's domain carried out by faxes, because they'll say, okay, I can't prove my domain ownership in either way. But, you know, if you're able to send in, you know, something, you know, faxes something from your company letterhead, that's fine. So, you know, a couple minutes in Photoshop, you put it together, you fax it in. And that's an old technology. There's a lot of, you know, just like email to fax services, web to fax, put in wherever you want it to come from, and they actually process orders based on fax, and they don't check a lot of the stuff they would check otherwise. The due diligence is a little bit less via fax. So hopefully there have been enough articles, enough high-profile cases where that's happened where they've shorted up, but I suspect that they haven't.
I have a tiered password system that I use, which is that my email is two-factor authentication, period. You're not getting into my email, even if you know my password. You're not getting in because I'm using two-factor authentication to do that. The second tier is that all the stuff that I know or that I really hope is being protected by people who know what they're doing, like banking sites, the passwords I use there are not used anywhere else. It gets its own password, and if I forget it, I'll have it email it to me or reset it. What I like about banking sites and the way that they secure things is that if they see you logging in from an unrecognized location or browser, they will put you through another factor of authentication before you can get into the banking site. So even if they did get my password, it's going to be tough for them to get into my account because they're not going to be using my computer. Now, one of the concerns I have, or a fear I have, is that, you know, my computer could be stolen. And if you get into there and you have saved passwords on your computer, then they can get access to your accounts. So you have to be careful with that.
Yeah, I always turn off the save passwords. I don't allow any browsers to save any of my passwords.
Well, that's
passwords.
The thing, too. It's not even if someone stole your computer. There are browser hacks or potential browser hacks that are out there that could easily farm those out that just either aren't disclosed or just haven't been found yet.
So all the stuff that you think about being convenient for managing all these different passwords is also a vulnerability. So it gets tough. Retina scans.
I'm feeling a little depressed listening to all this.
Well, everything's broken is kind of the state of things on the internet, it feels like.
Barrett said something earlier that I think is actually kind of interesting. Because of the wealth of compromised data out there, assuming how people are going to attack things alphabetically, depending on where your name starts in the alphabet. Barrett,
I'm in the lowish, That's why I change things immediately. I'm like, all right, we got a 1212, let's go.
I'm changing my name to Zed.
Mr. Zinthanthrope, he's got all day. I would think probably middle of the alphabet's where you want to be, because I'm sure there's some people like, oh, everyone's already in the pool on the A's. Let's start backwards in the Z's. So, you know.
Yeah.
Middle of the pool.
Everything,
of the bell curve.
Everything is broken.
So KPFT is relatively safe, then. We're semi-middle.
Yes. And we're certainly safe from getting anywhere close to our goal at this point. So we want to increase the traffic and the targeted we want to get rid of the denial of donation attack.
Yeah, whoever's doing that dot attack, knock that off. Just let's open the phone lines and get some pledges.
713-526-573. Because technology bites. There's a
Thank
phone
you.
Ring. Thank you.
Ask and you shall receive.
Because technology bites is here every Wednesday night. We're talking to you about this stuff, and yeah, it can be kind of depressing at times to hear about how vulnerable data is and your security at risk. But hopefully when you listen to Technology Bytes and you participate in the show or you come out to a geek gathering, you learn a little bit more about what the risks are and also how to strengthen your own security and protect yourself a little bit better. I think a lot of people operate under the assumption that they're kind of invulnerable. You know, the same kind of mentality that lets them think that they're completely anonymous online also makes them think that they're not going to get attacked.
That's a good segue. We'll be bringing some of that equipment out this Friday, actually, the geek gathering.
So. That's very true. We're going to show you how people can actually get into your data and get into your intercept your signals and so forth at the geek gathering this Friday at Cohen's. You can find out about that at geekradio.com. We're going to have our geek gathering. We'll be showing off some DEF CON tech that we got introduced to. This year there's another phone ringing.
Nice.
Do we have anybody to answer that?
Me.
Awesome. Well, go to it.
Hey, I'll check up with you guys
later.
All right.
Is that a second call? Good.
Yes.
All right, go. It's awesome. So that's two calls there. That's awesome. 713-526-5738. We can also
just tease.
Oh, was it? Okay. That means Dwayne's still available.
I'm still here. That's right. Bob just walked in, so I've got I'm now on phone 3.
Okay.
Call us.
Call Dwayne. Call Dwayne. 713-526-573. But, you know, that's how we stay on the air this long, is that we, you know, the hosts of this show, all of us here are pretty up to date on technology and I think can speak relatively or comparatively intelligently to the topics of the day regarding technology. Now, in this day and age, there are certainly a lot more experts in technology available to us all, you know, in the mainstream. When we started this show in 1995, that wasn't really the case. I mean, to find a geek, you had to break into somebody's basement.
No one knew about Windows 98.
Nobody could answer your questions about
very
Windows
few people were good on OS 10 at the time. Yeah, it was a just dearth of info back then.
It was a very interesting and cool time. I was reminiscing on Windows 95, not just Windows 95, but the whole era around 1995 when all of this stuff was starting to happen. And, you know, there were a lot of people that wanted to know. There were a lot of people that were very interested to know because they everybody got, you know, not, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people started to wake up really fast that something was happening. And in order to participate, you needed three things. You needed a computer and an internet account, and then somebody to tell you what to do with them.
Because, and a phone line.
A modem, right?
Right. People would say, you know, they knew they had to have these things, and they went out and got them without any idea about how to actually use them. It just, you know, I mean, all the retail stores, the electronic stores like the Best Buys and the and what was the other one that was the red?
Circuit City.
The Best Buys and Circuit Cities of the world said, oh, yeah, let's sell computers and we'll put computers. You know, the stores that sold that stuff didn't know what that technology was. They just knew that it would sell. And they made big, shiny displays and put the computers up there. And people walked in and they went, yes, give me. I will spend $2,000 on this. You know, 486
computers used to be expensive. I mean, really,
really
to get in, yeah, to get into the field.
1995,
it was a chunk of change.
Like, you know, a couple of $1,000 to get a Pentium 100.
You know, $40 on a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah,
10 times the horsepower.
But what people didn't have was the knowledge of what to do, and so they were seeking out. You know, that's when, like, you know, HAL PC was doing really well at that time in the Houston area. Apple users group was doing really well at the time, and people would go to where anybody had any knowledge. And that's when I was working on the sales floor at Best Buy, and the number of people that were coming back day after day after day after having bought a computer or during the process of contemplating buying a computer just had tons of questions, just like, how does this happen and what does this mean? And if I wanted to do this, how would I do that? And it's like, I realized that people really wanted to have a conversation about it. So that's what Technology Bites came out of. Technology Bites started off as radio. Well, it started off as Radio Drome and then Radio X when we decided to turn it into a computer show. And well, the rest is, as they say, archive.org.net. And here we are. So, you know, it's really cool that we're still doing it. It's really cool that we're still on the air. This past year, this is our 21st year.
Wow.
On the air. And we just hit that in July, 21 years. And at the beginning of this year, we kind of altered the format a little bit to where we were taking fewer phone calls. And by fewer, I mean none. And turning it into more of a discussion program. You know, Dwight Silverman was with us for a long time, and he decided that he was going to
raise cats,
spend more time with his cats. And
thanks, Dwight.
We picked up Lee Hutchinson, who has been, you know,
absent
85% reliable, you know, uptime, 85% uptime.
Doesn't quite get the radio show thing. You know, you're there.
Well, he does. Wednesday. You know, he lives far enough away to where it's still a challenge to get here.
Sure.
Didn't stop Peter.
No, he doesn't come anymore. He had to get a direct connection here to do it. But that's true. Up until tonight, we could always count on Pete. So, but you know, so we've got a great crew of people here: Groove House, Inflicted, and Barrett, and Lee, and Pete, and hopefully me. Every week, talking about technology and talking about the news of the day as it relates to technology. And it's a grand old time. And we hope that during fundraising, which is what we're doing right now, that
we just got $25.
All right.
Thank you, Fritz.
So we're hoping that during this fundraiser that you think about, you know, what you've heard on KPFT and what you've heard during the last 21 years of Technology Bites and think, well, you know, that is something.
So can I ask another question?
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How about another one? And this is about that giant floating Google island in San Francisco Bay. I saw it the last time I went to visit my son. My son, Jay, you remember him taking like his first steps here at the radio station back in the late 80s. But he's now almost 29 years old and lives out in Oakland. And I went out to visit him a couple years ago, and there was this, I don't know, this monstrously huge barge floating over by the Bay Bridge. And it's like this secret Google master world. I don't know. What was it? What is it?
The Google barges are a group of four floating barges that were built between 2010 and 2012, according to Wikipedia.
Yes.
Commissioned by Google to serve as an interactive space where people can learn about new technology. So apparently these barges are open to the public.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's a front.
This is to distract from the underground Google bunker.
Right.
Alcatraz.
Now, that's more like what I was thinking.
Let's see. They, as of March 2014, two of the barges are docked at the port of Stockton after being forced to leave San Francisco Bay. Another barge formerly docked in Portland, Maine, was reported in August 2014 to have been sold. Two of the barges, one San Francisco barge and the former Portland barge, have had a superstructure consisting of four stories of modern shipping containers welded together. And these containers, let's see, the other two barges are owned by the same corporation set up by Google but do not have a superstructure. So they're still around.
Yeah, it was a big deal in 2014. They got kicked out of the bay, more or less. I know there were some fire concerns and safety concerns, and then they were just kind of asked to move it on along if they could.
Nothing to see here.
Nope.
Move along.
You know, it's not what's on top of the barge that's concerning. It's what's under the barge probably more alarming. I don't know what it is. I'm just speculating, which is what a good conspiracy theorist does.
Mm-hmm.
But I did just see this. It's a there is a patent, U.S. patent 7,525,207 water-based data center. that is owned by Google in 2009. So I guess mobile data centers are
I was thinking that it might be a giant floating mind.
It's an artificial intelligence that we're protected from by having it in the water and not connected to the internet. Contemplating whether or not it could escape from Alcatraz.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Okay, well, we're $25 removed from that 50 that you already removed from that goal of 928. So we are now down to approximately $853 to go.
All right. We still need some help.
853 is completely doable in a two-hour episode of Technology Bites. We're a little over a half hour into the show. We're 40 minutes into the show. It's a little more than a little.
Hey, so I had a class 2 summers ago. I had a class through my master's program at the University of St. Thomas, and I spent 3 weeks in Rome. So I hadn't been overseas in a long time, and I bought a little travel bag to take my brand new iPad with me so that I could stay jacked in.
Did
and
you get it
communicate
stolen?
With people. No, I didn't. I still have that very – it's in the office now, unless you just went in there and stole it.
No, I wouldn't.
So I brought that along so I could Skype back home and, you know, stay in touch with the family and things like that, because 3 weeks is a long time to be away. So I did that, but one of the things I learned about was RFID safety devices, a little pouch that you want to put your scannable passports or you want to put your – magnetic readables into, I don't know, I help me out here because I'm thinking this is a variation on the tinfoil helmet kind of concept.
Not really. That's we'll have that out to the Geek Gathering too, some RFID reading equipment.
Yeah, there anything that, you know, that is scannable like that is potentially scannable from a distance.
And clonable. That's the big thing, too. So you can, you know, for instance, you can, you know, what Dwayne's talking about, it's radio frequency ID, mm-hmm. and it's this little bitty circuit that when you hit it with a little bit of power over some, you know, radio frequency power, it'll vibrate back, you know, over the radio frequency a little bit of information. So it usually has a unique number in there. In the case of the RFID stuff on passports, it's got some information about you, as well as, you know, your passport number is encoded in there. For instance, if you get into work, a lot of people that have code tags, that's RFID, so you can get into buildings and things like that. So, yeah, if someone gets close enough to that and you don't have that shielded or protected and someone can read that, a few $100 at, you know, at some kind of shady convention will buy you the gear to be able to more or less clone those things. Yeah, they can put it into a card, they can put it into a ring, they can put it into whatever. Yeah. And then wherever that would get you into, that, you know, they can follow behind.
Is a magnetic strip credit card scannable?
No, so far as I know, no. You still have to put that through a magstripe reader for the most part, but those are really prevalent at gas stations and ATMs and anywhere that you would normally swipe a card that you don't have an active human, you know, looking at the entire time. So not so prevalent inside grocery stores and things like that. But like at a gas station that isn't frequented very much, like it may be one of the pumps that it, you know, the pump faces out or faces into a dark corner, that's where people will put readers. So, yeah, anytime you swipe your card, you've got to be kind of cognizant of, you know, what else might be around that.
So yes, there's the potential that your RFID-enabled, like chip cards, mm-hmm. are those RFID?
Yeah.
So they could be scanned. And we, in fact, you know, you see people at DEF CON that are playing with things like that. They're pointing these kind of antennas around. And there's a phone call coming in. Thank you for that call.
Thank you.
There are people that are actively in not just scanning credit cards, but scanning your cell phone, your Wi-Fi, you know, like your phone, for example. Every time you connect, or your iPad, anytime you connect to a Wi-Fi device and it saves that, your computer or your phone is constantly looking for that Wi-Fi access point and saying, hey, so let's say you have a Wi-Fi access point, home internet. And so it keeps asking, home internet, are you there? And nothing answers, so it doesn't do anything. Well, somebody can do what they call a man-in-the-middle kind of attack, and they could put up an access point with that name, you know, once they know what you're looking for, then they can go ahead and broadcast that. Yeah, I'm that. I'm home internet. Connect to me. And so you connect to it and your data goes flowing through it. And you may think, you may not even be aware that that's happened because your phone is set up to automatically join that Wi-Fi whenever it's in range. So that's another potential hack or attack on your data.
And you kind of do when going through airports, I mean, in hotels and things like that, it's just kind of best just to batten down the hatches. You know, turn off your Wi-Fi, turn off your Bluetooth, and you're going to save some battery that way too. And really don't connect to anything when you're traveling. I mean, that's because so many people flow through airports, it's very easy for, you know, random people just to kind of hike out there, watch the traffic, and, you know, see what's going on.
Somebody called in or they were talking to Smiling Bob, and he said he keeps his passwords on Excel, which is password protected. He has a spreadsheet, which is password protected, which has his passwords in it. That is not bad. Overall is not bad, although there are programs that are designed to crack the password of an Excel spreadsheet or a Word document if you have them password protected. So they're not, it's not the most secure thing in the world, but if you're storing it in a digital file on your computer, it's probably safer than having it in a notepad, you know, in your desk drawer, for one thing. And so it's an all right method. Now there are password managers out there that are really good that basically keep your passwords encrypted in a file, and that
which is like a PGP or a GPG encryption. So it's pretty
a
lot
solid.
Better encryption than like Excel or something.
And then you have a password that you use to get into that password vault,
which is password.
Yeah, you don't want to make it just password.
I put the password of the password vault in the password vault. What do I do now?
Well, there's services like 1Pass or LastPass, and there's a few others out there, and they're pretty good. And the free versions you can run on your computer, and it'll keep all your passwords in a vault. And it'll even store things like your credit card numbers and things like that, so you can autofill those into forms on the web when you're buying stuff. And what's cool about that is that you cannot get back into that password vault. Like if the computer gets shut down, so if your computer does get stolen and somebody turns your computer, manages to get your computer turned back on, they have to get logged into that vault before they can get to your password. So even if your computer is stolen, like that Excel spreadsheet that the person called about, if they steal your computer and they discern that Excel spreadsheet is your, like you named it My Passwords, Don't Look, .xls or something like that. If they figure out that Excel spreadsheet has data in it, there are tools they could use to get in there. And you also have to be careful when you're storing all those passwords in, say, a spreadsheet or Word document or something like that, that you're not clearly outlining that my bank account, username, blah, you know, website, www.capital1.com, username, password, because that's the keys to the kingdom right there. So you'd want to be really careful with that. So maybe an extra, if you're looking for to do it free and on your own, maybe you could take that Excel spreadsheet and put it into a password protected zip file, even compress it into a zip file. That'd give you two passwords, but all that stuff still slightly risky. I know that my mother, before she passed away, she had all of her username and passwords written down on a piece of paper for every different system, and at least she was good enough to use a different username and password for all of her different services. But then she took that piece of paper and she put it in her safety deposit box, so that when she passed away, I was able to go to the safety deposit box and get that piece of paper, and I had access to all the accounts, which I didn't have to go messing around.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clever.
Old school, but brilliant.
Yeah. So the last thing you want to do is take that piece of paper and fold it up and put it in a desk drawer right next to your computer.
I actually did the very same thing. I did that, but I folded it up and I have it in my wallet. So I expect to get rolled when I walk out of here tonight.
Well, you know, I guess if you're at different points in my life, my bank account information is more valuable than other times when it's less valuable. You would live on Pacifica dollars, so I'm thinking that you may not be that.
Not a very high value target.
Not a very high value target at all. 713-526-5738. Your phone call tonight, your pledge of support to Technology Bytes and KPFT is the password to membership and the password to our heart. If you make a pledge tonight, we've got a very modest goal this evening. We were asked when we started this thing to raise a little over $800.
That was when we had 2 hours to do it, and now we're down to just over one.
Yes,
so
now we're just over one, and we're looking.
The incline has increased. So
right, and the mood has gone down just slightly because we've been talking about depressing stuff like passwords and security of your RFIDs.
Tinfoil, yeah.
Yeah, but there, to answer your question, yes, there are wallets and things like that that you can get that will shield that information. So it's basically, it is tinfoil lined. It's got some kind of metal.
A lead lined, a little mini Faraday cage, like, you know, a metal weave that just kind of keeps all the radio signals inside.
Yeah. And that, and people that make those, you know, are making a small bit of money off of doing it because there is a growing level of awareness about security stuff. You know, when I was going to Rome the first time, the thing I was worried about, the old school hack, would be that bag that you were carrying your iPad around in.
Mm-hmm.
I was carrying a camera bag when I went to Rome, and I was eyeballing the, they sold these camera bags that had a piece of metal wire in the strap.
That's what I got.
So that if
PackSafe, it was called.
So if somebody come, cause I heard that people could come by, slit the strap on your purse or your bag or whatever, and then just slip away with the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could cut the bottom. I've seen people.
Or slice the side of the bag itself. So
yep.
The sides of the bag were actually woven with steel cable through.
Right.
Because you know,
like they'll come up and slice the bottom of your backpack and let the whatever falls out fall out. And so they make bags that, you know, or at least kind of break the knife or at least make the knife difficult to cut. But, yeah, security is something you should be concerned with. But I'll tell you one thing. If you pledge your financial support to KPFT, that's just a few dollars less you have to worry about getting stolen by hackers.
Yeah, so the hackers are going to get your money anyway. Get it to us before they take it.
You know, we'll protect it from hackers because we'll spend it immediately on much-needed repairs and maintenance on the radio station. Because we were talking about earlier, this is a high-tech show on a low-tech radio station. This is a... I don't know what vintage or era you might call this, but it is not 21st century.
You know, most of the gear that's in those rooms was actually purchased with some government grant dollars I obtained in 2004. So technically, this was new stuff back just over 12 years ago. The board,
yeah,
of the microphones. Now, some of the cables might be as old as you, but...
I remember the original board that I trained on with the dials, the knobs.
I have pictures of that.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
I'd love to see those pictures. I wanna remember those days.
I'll go get one during the next break.
We're not gonna have a break. There's no breaks around here during fundraiser.
Okay, fine.
All right, 713-526-5738. We've had, you know, phones ring a little bit. We had a guy ask us, I don't know if this guy who asked the question about his password protected spreadsheet made a pledge or not.
No.
So we answered your question, buddy. Call back in and make a pledge, you know, 713-526-573. Now we do have some thank you gifts we should probably talk about.
Okay.
And, you know, I know that, for example, the most popular, well, maybe you can tell me if this is even true anymore. In my day, or at least when I remember early days of pledging, the most popular item we could ever give someone for making a donation to the station was a t-shirt. Because
mm-hmm.
KPFT t-shirts were like...
They were cool.
They were a thing. And not only... Because, you know, you had to pledge pretty much a premium, considering you could get a t-shirt for, like, you know, $10 these days. Getting a KPFT t-shirt was a financial investment. I think the minimum level of pledge now for a t-shirt is, what, $60?
$90.
$90.
Mm-hmm.
That's for all of them? Any of them?
That's for the KPFT logo t-shirt,
the
KPFT Peace t-shirt, or
yeah,
the KPFT retro throwback vintage t-shirt.
Okay, do we still have the KPFT news shirts for that were less? I seem to remember those at $60.
Yeah, we stopped making those.
Oh, okay. So
they're now highly collectible, and I've actually raised the price on them.
Okay.
They're now $150.
Really, for the KPFT news shirt?
For you, oh, 75.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we do have the KPFT shirts, $90. You know, it's a dollar per our call signal, our call number, $90.1
if you really want to be accurate.
$90.1, but we'll eat the .1 and only charge you $90. But it's nine, you know, you think $90 for a t-shirt, man, that's just ridiculous. Well, it's, you're not buying a shirt. What you're doing is you're pledging your support to KPFT. You're pledging your support to Technology Bites. And that's our way of saying thank you. But we still got to make money on the deal. So we're not going to give you a shirt that costs, you know, that, you know, for less than what it costs to pledge to KPFT. So it's really a thank you gift. But the thing about a KPFT shirt is because they are a premium that come at a premium cost, there's not a lot of them out there. I mean, there are some out there because we've had some people who pledge support to KPFT, but it's not like just everybody has a KPFT shirt. So when you see someone wearing a KPFT shirt, someone sees you wearing a KPFT shirt, they know where you stand. Not only that you like and love KPFT, but that you put your money where it counts, you know, to pony it up and got that shirt because you wanted to pledge some real money to KPFT that we really need. So when people see that, they'll respond to it very well. People really like seeing KPFT shirts out and about, knowing that, you know, you're a member of the tribe, you're, you know, part of the collective or whatever. And it leads to great conversations. You get to meet some of the more eclectic denizens of this city. So it's a worthwhile investment if you're kind of off the center path and a little bit on the social side, and it can help you. You'll have interesting conversation at the Disco Kroger.
I'd like to speak to a special gift that we can offer that actually involves semi-high technology, at least in the KPFT 20th century mode, which is a combination of what we call our Baker's Dozen disc package. Now, I remember editing tape with like razor blades and tape and on reel-to-reel machines, pre-computer, of course.
My band's first album was recorded on half-inch tape,
mm-hmm.
or whatever that was, cassette-style tape. Was that eighth-inch? But we had to splice
quarter-inch.
Quarter-inch. We had to do an edit on a song where we had to, like, you know, take two different takes and blend them together. We had to cut that with a razor blade.
Yeah.
Had to play that through and find the stop point, cut it with a razor blade, bring the other part in, and then tape that together on the master. Our master tape had a lot of cut and splices.
Could you hear that when it played through? Were there a little...
Because Dave Rickmers was really good at his job. Dave Rickmers is a name that you made.
Jack Cheese,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's gone on to fame and fortune as the sound engineer for the Oscars. He was in charge of all the different RF microphoning that needed to happen to make that broadcast, you know, not just a squealing mass of crap.
So you were making a point.
Yeah, I was trying to get to a point, which was that we used to have, and we still do, we have the analog master tapes from some really vintage KPFT experiences back in the 1980s. Like, KPFT is 46 and a half years old now, but we had a quinceañera. We had a 15th birthday party when we were just kids, and we rented out the Houston Music Hall, and we threw a party for ourselves downtown. And filled that house, you know, that whole room was full of people. And we recorded it on tape. And we have made a disc package out of that called the Picker Poets of 1985. And it was a reunion of six people with Houston connections, like K.T. Osland and Mickey Newberry and Rodney Crowell and Guy Clark and Jerry Jeff Walker and Townes Van Zandt. And they came together and spent 2.5 hours doing a song swap. It's the only time the six of them ever play together. And we have that as a three-disc set, but we've actually combined it with another KPFT rarity that you can't buy any of these anywhere. You can search for it on eBay. You can go to Cactus or Heights Vinyl or Vinyl Edge or, you know, any place that sells sound, and you won't find it. The Picker Poet Reunion of 1985, or the Juneteenth Blues Festival of 1984, where KPFT got a grant, went out to Miller Outdoor Theater, got the Teamsters to jack us into the soundboard, and recorded the entire 3-day festival and have created 10-hour-long fully fledged programs, intros, outros, backstage chat, the full performance from the stage, the whole nine yards, with people like John Lee Hooker and Clifton Chenier and Clarence Gatemouth Brown and legendary performances, Milton Hopkins, Milt Larkin, great artists. Okay, and so these were put together on CD sets. One is 10 discs, one is 3 discs, but here's where the technology bites part comes in, and it probably won't come in, but we actually put all 13 of these into a 2-disc, 2-box set package. We call it our Baker's Dozen CD set, and it's a $365 pledge.
Wow.
And you get
there's
this.
A call for it right now.
There you go.
It's no,
a
go
dollar
ahead and
a
make
day,
that pledge.
$30.42 a month. But because of technology, I can actually take all of that stuff, I can throw it onto a thumb drive. And on a thumb drive that cost us like $8, instead of burning stacks of CDs, I can actually send you this Baker's Dozen package in a little thumb drive. I don't have to spend a whole bunch of money on boxes and packaging. I can slip it into a padded envelope and send it out to you. So it's $240, $20 a month. You get all of that. That's
wow.
Pretty amazing, and that's as technologically advanced as KPFD is right now. I should be able to just give you a secret password protected, super encrypted, downloadable version of that. But, that's where the Technology Bytes crew has failed KPFT by not providing us that.
We have it, but we didn't want to tell you about it because you're so sloppy with passwords.
All right. True. True.
Don't
true,
tell
true.
Dwight the secret website.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what's coming through right now. So, okay, the first hour burned, gone.
History. Yes, there it is. Gone. You're listening to KPFT Houston, archived. It'll be on a thumb drive 20 years from now or whatever the passes for thumb drives in future tech. It'll be encoded into a little sliver of DNA and injected directly into your brain. But for now, analog and slightly digital. So that's pretty cool because that was what year was that concert?
The Quinceañera was in June of 1985 that we were downtown at the Music Hall. That was a really cool thing, and it almost didn't get recorded. The host of the show was Cliff Smith. Cliff is actually in the building right now wandering around, and Cliff actually had a jacket on that night. And it's the only time I've seen him dressed up. He had a jacket on with the like leather patches on the elbows, looking very professorial. And that was kind of an interesting memory. Larry Winters, the host of Spare Change, way back in that day, was the host of a program called Country Cookin' here on KPFT. He actually got some reel-to-reel tapes. Gene Palmquist, the then general manager of KPFT, did not really care to be that involved in this whole experience and certainly wasn't that interested in preserving, protecting, defending, and distributing the event as a gift later on. So was not really that involved in it. But Larry thought this is important. So he actually took some BBC news reels, went into the back room with a giant magnet.
And blanked the tape.
Yeah, erased these BBC tapes and wiped the news out, hauled these pancakes down to the music hall and brought along a reel-to-reel, plugged it into the soundboard and recorded that whole thing. Every once in a while on the master tapes, you can hear a little bleed through of the British accent, but it was remarkable coming back here in 2002 after being absent for about a decade to kind of dig around in some of the file cabinets and closets in this building and find this stack of plastic boxes with reels of pancake tape in there and realize that I had just rediscovered the Picker Poet Reunion and the Juneteenth Blues Festival from 1984 and 1985. And these treasures are, part of KPFT's history, part of our legacy.
One of the other things that we have, speaking of legacy and history and KPFT, the retro T-shirt.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's
designed by Huey.
Designed by Reverend Huey himself.
Who yes, was now Hell Pope Huey.
Hell Pope Huey. Yeah,
living up in the hollers of Arkansas.
He was a late night fixture here at KPFT. If you really wanted to have your mind completely blown by what radio could do.
He still hangs out mentally through the interwebs with Scooter.
Well, I can't fault him too much for that, I guess. Scooter keeps Huey weird, I'm sure, or vice versa. But, yeah, so we have this shirt, and it was designed by Huey probably in that same time frame.
1980. Yeah.
And it's this really just retro graphic shirt. And I had this shirt in my closet. There weren't a lot of them made.
No.
And there weren't apparently any other than mine that survived. And I brought that thing out and I showed it to I put a picture on the Facebooks and Dwayne saw it and said, we need to reproduce that shirt. And so we reproduced the shirt. We took the original shirt, scanned it, and recreated the artwork and created a new, less faded, less stained relic for your wearing consumption. And that shirt, do we have that online? Can you see that anywhere?
Probably.
Right, yeah, but maybe don't know where it is. It's a cool shirt. How much are we asking for that?
Guess what?
$90.
There you go.
$90, and it's a cool shirt.
And 10 cents.
And it's a resurrection of a shirt that, you know, it's tangentially connected to my closet.
To you, yeah.
To my closet, even.
And the one from your closet is hanging in my office right now. Still stained.
Yeah,
still scary.
Just still frightening. But, you know, we didn't reproduce the stains, just the glory. And that's available to you tonight.
That's our retro limited edition throwback.
We're only going to sell as many as we can make. 713-526-5738. Now, I heard a call coming in. Is that a real pledge happening? Or
yes, it is.
Awesome. And so that means
it's a sustaining pledge.
And that means that whatever that pledge is, we're that much closer to our goal. Canada?
Yeah, Windsor, Ontario.
Wow, we're reaching. 713-526-5738.
It's that new solid-state 100,000-watt antenna transmitter combo.
I got a phone call from somebody who never calls me hardly ever, I've known him for years. His name's Ralph Logan, and he usually just calls to tell me some weird story of something that's happened in his life, like once every, you know, year and a half or whatever. So I hadn't heard from him for like a year and a half or whatever it was, and my phone rings, and sure enough, it's Ralph, and Ralph says, "Did you do something to the radio station, to the signal, because I'm hearing KPFT in Wimberley." And I said, "Yeah, we boosted up to 100,000 watts. You can hear it there now." So he was like, "Well, now I'm going to have to tune in more often." So that signal boost.
That's,
you know,
a fluke. That's like cloud skipping.
But he said he could hear the radio station. So he was impressed that we had boosted the signal.
From Tampa to Tulsa, we blanket the Gulf Coast and beyond now, thanks to that 100,000 watts. It was actually on this upcoming Labor Day weekend a year ago that Steve Brightwell, our chief engineer, spent the weekend out there, and a bunch of us met him and met this big container truck and realized that the box was too wide for the gate at the place, and we paid for delivery to inside the building. And the dude left it on the ground. He offloaded it from the truck and rolled it up as close as he could and said, "Sorry, man, I'm not going any further." And we spent a good part of a day trying to use, I don't know, Archimedes principle and some other things to get
fulcrums
this
and levers.
Yeah, and hardly anyone broke any bones. Hardly anyone.
Hardly anyone was completely wiped out and sore the next couple of days.
But that solid state, it's a Nautel transmitter, and the way it actually operates is you gain output through the height above average terrain, and our antenna is about 800 feet up in the air, so you're getting a magnification of the input kilowattage, and so you throw like 30 in and you get 100 out the top. And that's what we did. And that was all brought to you by us.
And your
donations.
We
the people. You guys are part of that.
Yep.
Everybody who's a member of KPFT is part of that. Our good friend Fritz out in Hockley, who's well within range of the signal, very close to the signal, is part of that. And so it's
Sharon,
a wonderful
who
thing.
Made her pledge online, she's part of that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody who's ever donated time or money to the station is part of that. And, you know, that's just one, you know, one milestone in the just, you know, 43. Is it 43? 45. How old are we?
We are 46 and a half.
46 and a half. 46 and a half years tomorrow. Of Technology Bytes. Yeah. I mean, not Technology Bytes, KPFT, of which 20 years of that Technology Bytes has been a part of it. And I've been a part of it for going on 30 years myself. Over 30 years. Good Lord. All right. So anyway, I feel old. But, you know, everybody who's, you know, tuned in, made donations, volunteered time, come out to our events, done whatever with KPA is part of that. And it's just, it continues to happen. You know, you asked, how does a show like Technology Bytes stay on the air for 20 years? How does a radio station like KPFT continue broadcasting
for 46 years?
For 46 and a half years in the fourth largest city in the nation here in Houston, Texas, you know, dominating the third coast, as it were. It's because of people like you that listen to KPFT and appreciate what they hear and want to see that continue and see that live on. And it lives on through your support. It lives on through the donations you make that allow us to upgrade our broadcast transmitter strength so that we can actually reach further and entice more people to participate. The money that goes to pay and keep that red light up there on so that we know that we're broadcasting. You know, to make sure that the buzzer continues to buzz, to make sure the phones continue to ring, the internet continues to internet. We archive all of this stuff and we put it out there for global consumption via the KPFT archives. There's a lot of really great content being generated here on radio station KPFT each and every day. And, you know, you look back at this, this thing that Dwayne was talking about. With this 1985 concert, you know, the Picker Poet thing, there are going to be things like that 20 years from now, you know, that we have archived, the things that we have happening here at KPFT, because this is a fantastic radio station. You don't get information like you get here at KPFT anywhere else. You don't get music like you get here at KPFT anywhere else. It is a unique and valuable treasure that we have available Absolutely. To us here in Houston, Texas, and now the world because of the internet and because of technology. I know that I've got listeners in Australia. I've got listeners in New Zealand. I've got listeners in the UK. I've got listeners in Canada. You know, we've got fans all over the place that know and love KPFT and even know and love Technology Bytes. And for that, I'm grateful to get to be a part of that. I'm grateful that I get to do this on Wednesday night. You know, the guys here that I do the show with every week, Groovehouse, Flicted, Barrett, Lee, and Pete, I don't pretty much, except for the occasional, you know, except for the Geek Gathering when they show up, we don't socialize much outside of here. So this is a great time every Wednesday night to just get together, bring all these people together, and do this show and broadcast to the audience, our love and our passion for technology and the way that it's affecting and shaping and changing in the world around us. I think a lot of us may take it for granted that it's so ubiquitous that we have all of this technology around us. We take for granted that we can just jump online and look up an address or buy, you know, a t-shirt or buy electronics or even buy food online. This didn't exist, you know, 20 years ago. This was all in its infancy, and we've been kind of caretaking and bringing this information to you as this has grown and expanded. And I'm really, really grateful that I've had KPFT as a place to get on the air and broadcast at whatever rate we're broadcasting at now, 100,000 watts, to a potentially global audience and share our passion and our love of technology and what's going on and hear from you about how it's affected you and how it's influenced your life. And during the fundraiser, this is when it really comes down to what's necessary to keep this going. When we reach out to you and we say, hey, you know, thanks for being a part of this. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for, you know, saying that you love KPFT and that you love Technology Bytes. But now we need you to call us at 713-526-5738 and say, I love you enough to make a financial commitment to keeping this going, to keeping this available, because, you know, it was made available to you by those that came before you, and now you will make it available to those that come after you by pledging your support and making sure that we are on the air and that we're broadcasting like we have been for 46 years in spite of everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything, like getting blown off the air with actual dynamite.
Dynamite, C4 explosives, you know, flaming arrows, getting bricks shot through windows.
You know, a gunshot through the studio.
Yeah.
You know, weird, crazy truck that used to drive up and down Lovett Boulevard with a giant American flag that was just spewing.
Blaring hate. The Rush Limbaugh show at high volume. Yeah, yeah. That was very obscene.
You know, there are three kinds of people in the world. There are those that just listen, and that's fine. There are people that just, you know, they avail themselves of this font of information and music broadcasting every day here in Houston, Texas. That's the bulk of everyone. But on each side of that spectrum, there's a group of people that support the station that say, no, there's a phone call coming in, thank you for that. There's a group of people that say, yes, KPFT, and yes, I will financially support it, and I will give my time to it, and I believe so strongly that I'm willing to give my hard-earned dollars to support the station. And on the other side are the people that don't want us here. That people that listen to KPFT or know about KPFT, and they don't think that we deserve to be on the air, and they would actively seek to have us removed from the air. And so the good news is that the bulk of the people just like it, and they're not against us. And the other good news is that there's a small percentage of those people that actually take action to make sure that it's maintained and stays here. And we need that. We need to keep that part really strong to balance out the side that says, you know what, you know, non-commercial public radio is probably not good, because they're going to be, you know, giving out information and sharing ideas that may not jive with what we think should be happening. And one of the reasons that we even get to do that is because we're not commercial. We don't have sponsors that pay to keep this station on the air. All of our operating, you know, the bulk of our operating revenue comes from you, the listener. And that's what allows us to get to broadcast this kind of information and this kind of music each and every day. Technology Bytes does not have one particular computer manufacturer or software vendor that's, thank you for that call coming in.
Nice.
We don't have anyone like that saying, you know, I'm not going to give you any money because you talked about, you disparaged Microsoft, or you disparaged McAfee, or you disparaged HP or Dell or something. If we have an opinion, if we think something about it, we're free to say it, because we're not beholden to anyone but our listeners. And I think that's important, and that's powerful. And when we do these fundraisers, when we come on the air during a fundraiser, we ask you to make those donations. We're not just thinking, you know, it'd be really spiffy and neat if you did it, although it would. It's important. It's necessary. So we try to make it as entertaining as we possibly can. We try to make it as fun as we can. And the fundraisers, I mean, Ernesto, God bless him, he was the most, you know, mirthful, happy fundraising guy I've ever met in my life. I mean, I will confess that when it's time to do a fundraiser, I get, you know, I have to like steel myself. I have to say, okay, it's kind of embarrassing.
It's a Bataan death march on the air.
No, not that bad, except sometimes. But it's,
hey, Jay.
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt because you're saying some really great things and it's all important. But did everybody else leave while you were saying that?
We checked out a while ago. Yeah.
Oh.
they're all here, but, you know, when I go on my rants, they turn to their electronic devices and check their email.
Okay, I thought maybe they, I don't know, it, left to go play poker
it
or something.
It always feels like I'm by myself until...
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right, because I love it here.
So you're talking about Mirthful Ernesto. He actually showed up in town today. I was on a conference call, and his head popped in my office. I thought I was having a hallucination, but then I realized, sadly, I wasn't.
Oh, sadly, no flashbacks. The free residuals.
Now, so speak to the mirth.
Well, I was going to say that... where was I? You know, I feel like I just came in and said, did we back down when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? No, you know, I mean, the mirth, you know, I was going to say that, you know, come in here and it's embarrassing to ask for money. At least the way I was raised, it's embarrassing to ask people for money. You know, you don't do that. It's impolite. You know, you don't ask friends for loans of cash. You know, and here we're put in a position to where we have to basically reach out to the faceless audience of KPFT and say, hey, buddy, pal, could you spare some money? It's kind of, and you have to then go beyond that and be kind of prideful and boastful and say, this is great. What we're doing is awesome and you should support it.
We are worthy.
And so that feels awkward. So it takes a little bit of mindset and steeling ourselves, or at least steeling myself, to come in here and do this. And then if that's not responded to with actual donations, it's doubly embarrassing. It's frightening because you go, I feel like I put ourselves out there. We put ourselves out there and we didn't get the response that we thought we should get. But historically, we have gotten the response that we think we should get. It takes until the last 10 or 15 minutes of the show sometimes to make that final sprint to the goal. But, I remember the heady days at the early part of the dot-com bubble when everything was growing and happening. And we could do a fundraiser and meet the goal probably within 30, 40 minutes of the show and continue on and do other things.
Oh, that was fun.
We could, break it up to where we were doing little fundraising, little information, little fun, little fundraising, little information, more fun. And you could just kind of bounce around and just know you were going to make the goal. But then these days, it seems like, there's a lot more effort into prying you up from your recliner or lounge chair and going to the phone and dialing 713-526-5738. But that's okay, because we're willing to do that. And we also have the ability, you can pledge online. If you go to kpft.org, we have a tip jar there. You can actually make a pledge to this show, and you don't have to interact with anyone. We won't know about it until tomorrow. We can't count it towards our goal unless you tell.
But it will get put into your goal tomorrow.
Yeah, it will.
So, you'll walk out of here feeling really bad, and then Robin will send out a memo tomorrow, and you'll go, I feel better.
I do feel better.
So hey, Billy wants a retro T-shirt. She called in and said, hey, could I give you $100? It's a nice even number. I'll put it on the Fantastic Plastic. A retro T-shirt, please.
Awesome.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And what was the
name
again?
Billy.
Billy.
Yeah.
Billy, you are a hero.
You are a hero. When they told you don't be a hero, you said, heck with you.
She stepped up and said, come on, guys. Yeah, that was good. We appreciate that. 713-526-5738 is the phone number.
I'm sure she'd never hear that.
713-526-KPFT. Never. You know, it seems to me that somebody who likes Technology Bites also might like to go to a show at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion the 8th day of October. It's a Saturday night.
October. It might even be a little cooler.
It might be nice out, but these are going to be reserved seats, so you're under the fan anyway.
Under the canopy.
And this is going to put you on the bill, guest list, at the door. Prophets of Rage, original members of Rage Against the Machine, Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill.
Whoa.
It's going to be huge.
Put you down on that. Hey, who said that?
Group
huge.
House.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be
perfect.
Huge.
You know why? Because Donald Trump is on the air right now getting huge about immigration.
Sorry.
And I actually went to lunch today. Hillary Clinton was giving a major, major policy speech about a $3 billion investment in a healthcare reboot for the whole country. And meanwhile, Wolf Blitzer and the crew are commenting on her while she's speaking. And in the corner of the screen, while she's giving this major policy speech, is a countdown clock telling me that it's 8 hours, 33 minutes, and 4 seconds until Donald Trump is going to give a speech. Like it's a NASA launch to the moon or something. And it kind of blows my mind. But because it is such a huge phenomenon, I am going to offer to a listener right now Gary Trudeau's huge 30 years of Trudeau on Trump. And this paperback volume, this graphic novel of Doonesbury's cartoon strip covering 30 years of Trump, is a gift to you for a $90 pledge level. If you'd prefer that to the KPFT T-shirt du jour, we'd be more than happy to put you down on the list. I looked at a copy of this. And I tell you, Gary Trudeau has been spot on. He, you know, for a guy who does a cartoon strip, he's won a Pulitzer Prize, darn it. I mean, this guy used to be on the editorial pages of many, many papers. And actually, there was a movement to get him banned from newspapers by the, you know, the powers that are in many parts of our country. Mm. But Gary Trudeau and the Doonesbury Strip, we'll put you on the list for a compilation volume if you'd like to call in and make a pledge right now.
Not to be confused with the Prime Minister of Canada, who my wife considers to be hunky, Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau, yes, son of Pierre Trudeau. Yeah. Yes. I'm sure they're related, but...
All Trudeaus are. there's a new movie coming out, Trudeau Stories.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a phone right. ringing. Thank you for that. So, yeah, if you want to pick up at $90, get the Gary Trudeau 30 Years of Trump, because, you know, reliving that would be awesome.
It would be huge.
At least in a funny way, you know. So, you know, Technology Bites isn't going down to Mexico to meet with the president to talk about immigration reform.
Well, apparently he went and got really pissed off because then he flew to Arizona and he's, like, fuming.
Is he fuming?
Yeah.
What's he mad about now? I mean, new stuff because he got called a liar?
He had a meeting with Mexico, right?
He did. Yeah. He went to Mexico.
They told him they weren't going to pay for the wall, right?
Well, he said the first question out was, did you discuss payment of the wall? And he says, we did discuss the wall. We did not discuss payment. And then the president of Mexico later tweeted, said, oh, we mentioned the payment, and we reemphasized that we're not paying for the wall. So, you know, he basically went to Mexico and got called a liar after he came out in his press conference.
No wonder
conference.
He was pissed. Huge. 30 Huge. Years of Doonesbury on Trump.
Yeah, so you can pick that up. Dial 713-526-5738. Now, to give you an idea, $90 pledge. That is 24 cents a day or $7.50 a month.
Yeah, but don't make us charge you 24 cents a day. Just
no.
put, yeah, we're only going to do the $7.50 a month.
Well, we'll electronic fund transfer $7.50 out of your bank account. We'll do it.
I'll do it if you will take the 24 cents out a day. I want to see that little deduction.
Bing!
No.
And have a little alert set up on your phone. That'd be awesome. But, you know, consider that it wouldn't take much to go up to a $120 pledge, which would only be $10 a month. Uh-huh. $10 a month. So if you pledge $120 right now, we get that $120 counted towards our goal, but you get 12 months to pay it off.
There you go. And
interest
some T-shirt.
Free.
And a T-shirt,
and
probably.
And a T-shirt. It, maybe, yeah, at least one shirt.
Something.
So,
sticker.
So, you know, if you can afford $10 a month to KPFT, I mean, think about it. I pay $10 a month for my Adobe subscription. I pay a little less
Netflix.
Than $10 a month for Netflix. I have a lot of these
Hulu.
little things that are dinging me for $10 a month. And I, you know, I don't even
are
think
they
about it.
Password protected?
Yes.
Okay.
Password is the name of the service. So Netflix is password for Netflix. And Amazon is my password for Amazon. It works. It's beautiful. Nobody will ever suspect. Oops. 713-526-5738. Your pledge is the password to our success right now.
This
tonight.
Is truth.
And we've got about 30 minutes left. We've had a couple of generous calls come in. All the calls are generous and have helped us chip away at that goal. I feel relatively confident that when Dwayne totes up what we've got so far, it'll be...
I have $305 down here now. Thanks to Maurice in Windsor, Ontario. Thanks to Billy here in
wow.
Houston. Thanks to Fritz out in Hockley. And Don's on the line taking a pledge right
Thanks
now.
To Thanks to Sharon, who made her pledge support.
Yeah.
We thank her. So, yeah, you know, we're whittling away, but we've only got about 30 minutes left in the show. So we need to hear from you. It's important that you call. We forgot to mention one of the most important things about this fund drive is that this is a 1 week and out. We're only having to do it tonight.
Wow. This is a 3 day and out. This is not even a 72 hour long. It's a micro.
Wait a minute. We got sucker punched for a 3 day fundraiser.
I told you I was checking your travel schedule, waiting for a week where I knew you weren't going to try and escape.
you brought this on us, Jay.
You mean that there was only 3 days that you had to do a fundraiser and you chose a day that ended on Technology Bites?
No. We're doing this till tomorrow evening. Wally James and the group of...
But you started what, yesterday?
Yesterday. Yeah.
How did we get? Why didn't you do this to the Weekend Crew?
You know, the Weekend Crew is ready to have a civil war with the Weekday Crew at this point.
Why is that?
Because when you have to do it once, they have to do it twice. When you get to do it twice, they get to do it thrice. And there's a growing revolt brewing in the ranks of the KPFT family.
Tell them they can complain after 21 years on the radio.
Ray Hill just shaking his head. 713-526-573. And I didn't realize that it was only 3 days. For some reason, I thought this was a week. But at any rate, we're only doing
because it was for you. This is almost selfish.
It's hinging on us.
It is.
All right. So
you're at the tipping point right here. Success, failure. Success, failure.
Well, the important takeaway is that next week we'll be back to regular programming Technology Bites. So we're only doing this one fundraising episode. We've got a really kind of modest goal.
The week after that, we're going to be back in Fund Drive. So you'd better.
What?
Gotcha.
We go from a mini summer sizzle to a microthon back to school special.
Oh, man.
Then we go into a marathon Bataan march as soon as the weather cools off enough to march.
Wow.
Are you lying right now?
I am being very truthful.
The station needs money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
God, I was
cruel
in a good
facts.
Mood for a minute.
All right. Hey, a Trudeau book is being reserved.
All
for
right. Thanks for that.
Max Cortez. Thank you.
Max, thank you. Thank you so much, Max. All right. So that's another almost $100. So that gets us to about 400 and something.
9:30. 30 minutes to call in.
How much do we, what do we got to get?
928 minus your 50.
Yeah.
Okay. Seven.
Carry the one.
Okay, 878 minus what we have out here on the table. You're over halfway there.
713-526-573.
Three quarters of the way through the show and halfway to our goal.
It's very typical.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, the power hour begins toward the end of any program. It's that last 25% of the show that raises 80% of the funds. It happens to Rourke every day. It happens to Ricky on the Lone Star Jukebox every Saturday. It happens to Mr. and Mrs. V on Blues on the Move. Nuri does his table dance, and it flows toward the end. And that's just – it's a pattern. People want to hear you sweat, which is kind of a disgusting thing, but it's real.
Yeah, you know, and it's the dance we all have to dance. To play, you know, to come to this party. 713-526-5738. Several people have called in and made donations to us tonight, and we appreciate that very, very much. It's always good to hear those phones ringing. And I will mention what I've mentioned many times in the past, is that when you make the phone ring by making a pledge to KPFT and making a pledge to Technology Bites, you're probably responsible for the next ring as well. When people hear that phone ringing, they hear people. That's the sound of people reaching out and supporting Technology Bites.
Well, people
and
do want to be part of something successful.
Yes.
Don't you?
Lots of people want to support local. This is as local as it gets.
Yeah.
That's true. We're locally sourced technology.
I've always thought of this show as, I mean, it's like car talk for geeks, you know? And instead of being a gearhead, you're a geek. And you listen to the show, and I'm usually – Most Wednesday nights, I'm driving home from here or someplace like here, listening to the show. And what I end up doing is I mostly hear a lot of really deep stuff that I know nothing about, but somehow I laugh about it because you guys, as I describe it, you basically are all a bunch of smart guys who like to make fun of stupid people. And then after you make fun of them, you help them out.
You know,
and you perform this public service.
I don't know. You know, I've had two. There's a compliment. There's two compliments that I've gotten over the 20 years, and one is like, I don't know how you guys are so patient. You're so nice to everyone, and then I get another one. It's like, man, you totally got that guy. And you were so rude, and it was funny. And like, so people hear what they want to hear. I think
okay.
You know, we're just a geeky blank slate that people paint their own picture on, but it's funny. Dave Rickmers, I tweeted at him what we were talking about, Jack Cheese, and he tweeted back, says, "Ah, that explains the excruciating sphincter cramp I just hallucinated." Small bills, non-consecutive serial numbers. So Dave Rickmers is out there in
He's
the internet,
twisted as ever.
He is, but you know, it's. Having been around KPFT for as long as I have, I've certainly met some characters here, and it's a great group of people that make up this radio station. It's really awesome, and you know, whether or not you support KPFT financially, you should support it with at least a little time. You should come around and meet some of these people because your life will be better for it. If you have an opportunity to come out and hang out at the tables during the art car parade, or go out to the Watermelon Festival,
or Discovery Green Fall and Spring Concert Series out there, nice. Or meet us at Miller Outdoor Theater.
Come by the radio station during business hours and just offer your time. You know, maybe sorting CDs or something, or stuffing envelopes. It's an interesting group of people, and it's an interesting group of people that make up the city of Houston, and certainly that make up this listening audience. We get all kinds, and they're all interesting and worthwhile, and we're grateful for every one of you. We're a little more grateful during fundraiser when you make the phone ring, though. I will confess that, you know, those that actually take the time and pledge real money to KPFT, especially during Technology Bites. There's one coming in right now, I hope.
Beautiful.
That sounds awesome. You are the ones that we really, really count on, because when you call that pledge of support in tonight, you know, you're carrying the load for another couple of hundred people that aren't going to call in tonight. And it makes your pledge and your support and your participation all the more valuable to us. And again, I think everyone out there who participates in KPFT, either as a passive listener or as a listener supporter, they're all valuable. You're all valuable. We are making a special appeal to a very select group of people tonight, and that's the people that will actually pick up a phone and dial 713-526-5738 and make a pledge of support. You know, we're really trying to get to you and reach out to you and just flip that switch. Just figure out what the jumper combination is to get your IRQs all squared away so that you'll do the handshake with us by calling 713-526-5738 and negotiating a listener sponsored connection to us. Bong, bong, bong. 713-526-5738. Yes. Well, that raspy sound in my voice is the bit where I'm starting to wear out. We got about 20 minutes left to go in the radio show tonight. Flicked it is, hasn't really looked up much in a while. It was some great flick. I mean, I will say this. Okay. So Lee Hutchinson and Peter Hughes bailed tonight for probably good reasons, not necessarily because
possibly
they wanted to miss the
reasons.
Fundraiser. But what I noticed from Flicted, you know, because I was thinking, okay, I'm going to be doing the show with three of the quieter people in the crew.
Yes.
But Flicted has been showing up with like 30 seconds to spare to get here for the last month or so. And tonight he was here a full half hour early because I think he at least responded to the gloom that was these other people bailing out. And then early on in the show, thank you. Early on in the show, Afflicted was very verbal and talkative. So I appreciate that. I know that probably strained him a bit, but he did offer a great amount above and beyond the Call of Duty level of vocal participation in the early part of the show. So,
but now he's playing Crossy Road.
Yeah, now
I thought he's smiling. It's like he likes what you have to say, but now he's just playing the game.
He's not even, he basically sort of listening. You know, but it's
he's there in case he has to push a button.
Yeah, it's just in case he has to bleep me. But I thought I heard the
music.
The music. Where would that come from? I heard the little piano. Did you hear it?
I heard it.
It sounded like the little.
Might be
like
Pete. Have we checked in with Pete lately? What's Pete doing?
I think it's somebody's phone out here at the table.
Oh, okay.
It sounded like. No.
That's Pete.
We do have the Geek Gathering coming up. That's another thing that Technology Bites does that, you know, I think maybe gets underplayed just a little bit, is the first Friday of every month we have a open invite party gathering thing, and the last 4+ years we've been doing it over at Con's Beer, Wine, and Darts. First Friday of the month,
Con Lou,
yeah. And we have the geek gathering where we invite whoever wants to come out, geek, non-geek, whatever, come on and hang out with us. Early in the evening, we start up about 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and go until, sometimes go until midnight, but mostly till around 10, 10:30. Just hanging out, having an adult beverage, talking tech, and this month is our annual DEF CON debrief, so we're going to be talking about what we saw and experienced at the world's largest hacking convention, which occurs every year in Las Vegas. The convention is known as DEF CON. And we'll be out there this Friday night. And we do that, you know, that's our own time. That's our own, you know, our enthusiasm for tech takes us to wanting to interact with complete strangers.
And it's the one time other than at KPFT that y'all are in the same place at the same time.
That's true.
And of course, at DEF CON itself.
So if you wanted to take us out, it would either be here or at the Geek Gathering.
I'm not coming on Friday.
And another thing that probably that's also unsung is that, you know, we have our website. We have the Geek Radio website up, which, you know, has all of our podcasts on it and has all the information about the show and the events that we host. And you can find it. That's something that we pay for that we do. We don't use money that comes in to the station during fundraiser or ever comes into the station at all. We pay for that out of our own pockets. All the tech that we use as the infrastructure for this show, the laptops that we carry, the smartphones that we carry, all of that we pay for out of our own pocket. That's just stuff that we bring to the game, you know, on our own. So your donations to KPFT go to support just the station. They go to just pay what it costs to actually run a 100,000-watt radio station in Houston, Texas.
$2.50 a minute.
$2.50, there goes, you know, we're burning through the 250s.
Yeah. And, hey, you know, honestly, if somebody out there listening has 10 bucks to spare and you can just do that, you took care of 4 minutes. Well, that doesn't seem like a lot, but somebody's got to do it because the bill is there. You know, and we're broadcasting this 100,000-watt signal. We're also broadcasting an HD digital stereo FM as well. That HD signal piggybacking on the 90.1 original analog FM signal, that 100,000 watts augmented by 1,000 watts of HD power. And therefore, we also have the capacity and even right now the actuality of a second or even a third channel within 90.1. So we have this, we call it HD3 because we used to lease HD2 to Rice University. That's over. But HD3 is now on channel 2 inside 90.1. Confused? Maybe. But that's part of the reality of the new paradigm at KPFT. And then we throw another signal up there behind the Pine Curtain to those of you in Huntsville, maybe accidentally in Huntsville or maybe on purpose, at 91.9 FM, a few hundred extra watts up there. Another couple hundred down on the south side at 89.5 FM to those of you from the seawall into downtown Galveston proper. And all of that costs money. I mean, we pay rent in 4 different sites to have antennas. And the smaller ones around the perimeter in front of and behind the Pine Curtain, on and off the island, up and down the coast and all that, that's roughly $1,000 a month for each one of those. The main full-blown 90.1 100,000-watt signal, we're paying $4,500 a month in just the rent to have our box in the building at the base of this big tower in the sky. You know, so it's those kinds of things. And then you throw in the fact that we're in this 101-year-old house that James A. Baker built back in 1915. It was a single-family home until the late 60s when some people turned it into a modern art gallery called the Kiko Gallery.
Cool.
And Yoko Ono threw a show up in the room I'm sitting in right now. And then a few years later, it got turned into a radio station. KPFT moved here from downtown. And we've been in this old house ever since the summer of 1975. KPFT has lived inside this building. And everything you can imagine dealing with a 101-year-old house that needs constant upkeep. You know, there's a coal chute to an old boiler in the basement of this house. It's that old that there's actually a basement in this this thing. Do not ever go down there. Do not. It's not a full basement. It's a half basement. At least, you know, I've had to go down there. It has all the idiosyncrasies of a really old house. And then you throw in the fact that there are lots of people, at least somebody, always in this place. This place is never vacant. Even when the place, even during those 12 days when Houston didn't even have electricity, I still came down here every day and opened the doors just to keep the funk from growing inside this place. KPFT is, you know, so I'm just saying that to illustrate the fact that there's always things. Like right now, our front door is funky. You know, it's swollen from all the rain. We need a carpenter to come down here tomorrow morning and mess with the door. Electrical work, plumbing work, lighting fixtures, everything that you can possibly imagine. A lot of low-tech stuff, a lot of high-tech stuff that could use some attention. And we need to do that all the time. And that's part of what the upkeep of KPFT is. Anybody who's a homeowner, you know, you have to pay to get things fixed. You have to pay to maintain things. We have a refrigerator here. We have, you know, we have a water machine here. We have electrical outlets here. We have all those kinds of things. We have a water bill, a gas bill, an electric bill, a garbage bill, the whole nine yards that goes into owning a home. KPFT owns a home. We, the people of KPFT, own this home together. It's our station. It's your station. I invite you to come by and see what you invest in. And you'll say, good Lord, I need to give them some more money, man, because, you know, maybe they can upgrade the facility a little bit. I'm walking back and forth constantly on some, like, 17-year-old carpet that was put in here after the garage apartment burned down out back, and we got a small insurance settlement and decided, hey, let's spiff this place up and put some carpet in this room. And it's that same funky stuff, and it needs to go. So if you're, you know, maybe you'd like to make an in-kind donation to KPFT and re-carpet this funky old place. That would be great. You know, a lot of folks donate to KPFT. Lola Savannah Coffee Company gives us 30 pounds of coffee a month. They give us the filters. They give us the grinders. They gave us the pump pot. They even sent their own plumber down here to put a copper line into our water line so that we would have filtered water running into the coffee-making apparatus. That was a donation. And when I call them up, they don't say, hey, you know, we're cutting you off, buddy. We use a pound of coffee every single day at KPFT, and we get that donated. You know, that's an amazing thing. And all the people who fed us, Pat Greer's Kitchen fed the crew out here at Pledge Central today, and we thank Pat. The Hot Bagel Shop over on Shepherd.
Hey-o.
You know, Hot Bagel Shop has given breakfast food to KPFT since before time. As soon as they invented a bagel, they started sending them down here on weekday mornings to KPFT. And that's an amazing contribution. So we get in-kind contributions from restaurants, from Aladdin, you know, who are feeding us lunch, from the Texas Tamale Company is bringing lunch in tomorrow, you know. And so there's a lot of in-kind contributions. The services that are provided by the geeks here at KPFT, that's a service. That's pouring passion into the radio and pouring it out into your consciousness. And that's what we're all about here at KPFT. And just know this, you know, we're on right now asking for technology bites, you know, and this is our second of 3 days that we're coming at you in this little microthon, and we'll be back doing it in a marathon before you know it, apparently, because it seems like
literally
it seems like that's the mode of operation these days. We used to come in for about 2 weeks, two or three times a year, and now it seems like I turn around, we're in a pledge drive, I go home, I take a nap, and I'm building the next pledge drive, and I'm here doing it again, and it's kind of like Groundhog Day. 713-526-5738 is the phone number. 713-526-KPFT. Bottom line is that we make a difference in people's lives, and you're part of the equation by donating to the station. Some people give up their time. Some people give up their talent and their passion, and they pour it out through the radio. Some people can't do that. You don't have the time, or maybe you don't have the talent. I don't know. But you do have some money, and you can put that in here and be part of the equation that way. A lot of us do all three of those things. And we appreciate any combination of the above. 713-526-5738.
We're down to the last 13 minutes of the show. We still got a little ways to go to hit that goal if we want to make it. You know,
a handful
of phone calls pledging their, you know, people pledging their support by dialing in right now could really get us there. It's not inconceivable that in the last 15 minutes of the show that we could raise 50% of our goal. So what we need to have happen is just whatever you can afford, whatever you can give right now, that you can justify parting with, call in 713-526-5738 and make that pledge. Like I said, you know, we do have other fundraisers coming down the pike, but at least for now, this is just a one and gone, so we can move on. Mm-hmm. But we do need to have success in this time. Having successful fundraisers allows us to have less fundraisers.
Right.
713-526-5738. If you think about KPFT, if you think about Technology Bites, and you feel good about those things, if you have enjoyed or been entertained or been informed, if you've learned, it's a commitment in a way to turn the radio on and engage in a talk show. Even if you're kind of listening to it in the background, it's still triggering thoughts and neurons in your brain to fire and do things. That's why you're tuned in. That's why you're listening to talk radio. And if you're listening to talk radio during fundraiser, it's even weirder because, you know, you're kind of tuning into a different train of thought. If you've stuck around for the last hour and 49 minutes and you haven't pledged, then what the hell's wrong with you?
I mean, that's a variation on a theme I heard last week coming out of some huge, huge bloated ego.
Oh, well, you know, hey,
what
listen.
What the hell do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose by giving to KPFT?
Look. And I do have another copy of that book, Huge 30 Years of Doonesbury on Trump. If you'd like to pick up a copy of this trade paperback just published this past, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, I think it came out.
Wow.
Beginning of August.
713-526-5738. Get Gary Trudeau's 30 Years of Trump. And it's, you know, much like the subject, it's a book of cartoons. it's a cartoon about a cartoon, if you want that. And, I hope I don't offend any Trump fans. Not really. 713-526-5738. Really, you know, what's great about Technology Bites, I think, is that it is overall generally typically tends to be politically, religiously, and neutral. You know, we're talking technology as it affects everyone. You know, there are some shows here on KPFT that may be a little bit more political leaning, but we're not necessarily one of those in there. We also don't play the blues or you know, folk music either, but we are our own thing. And I like to think that the listeners of Technology Bites are a unique breed in the listening audience of KPFT. I know we have crossover with some other shows, but, you know, for the most part, our listeners are our listeners, and we're grateful to them. And this is your time to shine. This is your time to step up and say, you know what? Maybe I don't agree with everything I hear on KPFT. Maybe I don't like all the music that I hear on KPFT, but I do like Technology Bites. I'd like to see that continue. And that, mm-hmm. and we're reaching out to you specifically tonight. Say, if Technology Bites means something to you, if it's had an effect on your life, if it's had any influence on you, now's the time to call in and say, hey, I want to support that. 713-526-5738. We've got volunteers standing by. We've got about 9 minutes left in the show. You know, we need a little bit of an avalanche here to make that goal, but we'd love to hear from you.
Not much of one. No, I've been calculating your numbers as the evening has worn on.
Worn on.
And I find us right now, believe it or not, at $743. The goal originally being $928, so the differential there being $185.
Whoa! $185 away from our goal with 8 minutes left to go. We could do that.
This is very doable.
$185 is the difference between pretty
success
good
and
success.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not complete failure.
Not complete, but, you know.
But, yeah, it is still a failure.
Yeah.
I thank you for making that clarification. 713-526-5738. I think I brought the Groovehouse Flicted mocking laughter unit
arousal,
out of retirement.
Yes.
You know, let's have a good send off. Hey, you know, I'd like to hear that phone ring. I'd like to hear that phone ring and have someone to thank at the end of that phone call. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. Make a pledge of support. You know, so how far away? 180, you say?
185. Hey, what? And didn't you say that you wanted to go see the Pet Shop Boys at the new White Oak Music Hall?
How much would it cost someone to see them?
$120.
$120 would be get us most of the way there.
Or maybe you want to go see the Dandy Warhols.
The Dandy Warhols.
Oza Motley, or the old 97s, or Dinosaur Jr. Or...
So we got some concert tickets.
All those sound
tickets.
Pretty good, yeah.
We got some concert tickets at $120.
I mean, those are all at this brand new place over there, White Oak Music Hall, you know, off North Main, kinda,
yeah.
The opposite side of the freeway by the cemetery.
It's the new Montrose.
You know, I also could send you to Reckless Kelly, Paul Thorne, or David Bromberg, or Carolyn Wonderland, or Ray Wiley Hubbard, or Elephant Revival at the Heights Theater. This is that old, you know, antique emporium that used to actually be a theater where I Am Curious Yellow created a big rhubarb in the old hood back in the day.
Wow.
For being, you know, pornographic. And that is now being converted into a concert venue. It will be opening up in mid-October. And one of the shows I'm looking forward to is a band called The Wait, which takes Levon Helms and other members of the formerly known as The Band,
yes.
Band, and brings them together in a band called The Wait. And they're going to be playing on November the 5th. And
wow.
We've got, you know, a couple of pairs of tickets to a number of shows. I only mentioned that one earlier, Rage Against the Machine, Public Enemy, Cypress Hill members in the Prophets of Rage show at Cynthia Woods. I've got Elvis Costello coming to the Revention Center.
He wrote the book.
In mid-October, you know?
Right, so we have some thank you gifts.
We got some things.
We got 6 minutes left. We've got a little less than $200 to raise in our goal.
How about John Sebastian from The Loving Spoonful, Jay? This is right up your alley. Right in your demographic.
Acoustic guitar and all.
Hey.
So, Saturday, September 24th.
If somebody wanted to take us over the top, 713-526-5738, a $200 pledge, just so you know, is only 55 cents a day for a year.
$240 pledge would get dinner and a show, three-course meal, John Sebastian from The Loving Spoonful, or Hal Ketchum, or Big Head Todd and the Monsters.
Big Head Todd and the Monsters for $240? And you get dinner?
Dinner for two and two tickets at the Do-Si-Do.
Wow.
Right there on the freeway.
So I know.
And it's Mud Morgenfeld,
Mud.
Billy Branch, Ronnie Baker Brooks, and Big Head Todd and the Monsters. It's the Big Head Blues Club tour.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, that's coming up on October 12th.
713-526-5738. Call in. Get some tickets. Get us to our goal. We got 4 minutes left in the show. Saeed did it.
That's right.
Susan did it.
Susan did it. Rourke did it.
Rourke did it.
Yeah.
Sound Awake Radio did it.
Yeah. Sound Awake did it.
Yep.
Technology Bites.
Not doing it.
Bit it.
Low energy. Can't make goals. Sad.
Bit it.
713-526-5738. You know, thanks
Losers.
To everyone who did pledge. We get a couple of more pledges in
we
this
may
last
or may
minute.
Not
we
be could here next week. I don't know.
I don't believe in holding this station for rent, holding our listeners, you know, hostage like
one
that.
One or a zero.
Either or.
One
yes
or
no.
Zero.
Ah, there's a phone ringing. That could be
one?
The salvation. That's a one.
That's a one.
713, thanks for that call coming in. We do appreciate it. We get another call coming in. We could be over our goal easily with a couple of pledges tonight.
I'm thinking somebody might want a ticket package, and you know, one or two of those, and you guys are well over.
$240 pledge gets you the Big Head Todd and the Monsters Extrava Bonanza thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome.
Big old head.
I know people. I've got a friend of mine who goes to every Big Head Todd concert.
He's a good guitar player.
We have an inquiry on the Pet Shop Boys. It's going to be at the White Oak Music Hall. It will be Wednesday night, November 2nd. I have two.
We don't mind if you go see the show instead of listening to us.
Yeah.
That's how much we love you. 713-526-5738.
You know, that would be a good excuse, Jimmy.
Yeah. If you need a break.
I think we'll be in Fun Drive that night, so you might want to pledge for the tickets. You'd have a great reason to not be here.
Yeah, so you'll have already made your pledge, and you'll be able to eat, you know, walk away for a little while and hear something a little less grating. 713-526-5738. 2 minutes left to go tonight here. Hopefully we've got a generous pledge
coming
in.
Okay, Pet Shop Boys tickets are being reserved right now. That 120 pledge leaves us 65 shy of the goal.
65 shy of the goal.
We have 2 minutes. We have 2 minutes left. 713-526-5738.
One huge book away.
One huge book.
What's the breakdown on a $60 pledge?
$60.
There's a call coming in. That could be it. $60 pledge is 16 cents
a day. And then $1 from each of you and we're set.
We gotta pay.
Pay to get out of the room.
I'll make up the difference.
I got a dollar.
Okay, no problem. 713-526-5738. I'm hoping that that's. I'm hoping that's. If we can get a shoulder surf on that pledge coming in. If we can get a shoulder surf on that before we have to leave in about a minute and 10 seconds.
Pledge check we'll aisle one, please.
We can't rush it. We might make it.
Hey, whoever's the board op, make sure you don't have to play an election spot right now.
I do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to check out.
We're going to make sure you don't.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. Thanks for being a part of that, Dwayne. Are you going to shoulder surf that pledge coming in and tell us what it is?
You got it.
Tell us what that is, because we've got about...
Thank you, Wendy.
Wendy, thank you for your pledge. Thank you, Wendy. And do we know how much it was?
120.
Yay. That was for that. And so what... So
that's Pet Shop Boys. The other one they hung up on Bob.
Oh. Well, we got dangerously close, and maybe we got some web pledges that we'll thank later, but it was a good effort, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
$20 from each of you guys, and I guarantee you made the goal.
I'm flicked.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
broke.
I'm hungry.
See you next week.
Greetings, KPFT listeners. My name is Alma Vizcarra. As local election supervisor, it is my pleasure to introduce to you